We welcome you back this afternoon to the services of the Southside Congregation, and as Doug has already mentioned, you are our honored guest if you're visiting with us this afternoon, and especially if you're visiting from an area congregation, we appreciate your support, and I know the good brethren here appreciate that support as well. We want to look this afternoon at a lesson entitled God Opens Doors, and we want to talk a little bit this afternoon about the open doors that God provides for us to talk with our neighbors about the gospel. And as we've just sung, are we sowing the seed of the kingdom? And I wanted to speak along these lines this afternoon early in the gospel meeting to encourage us the rest of this week to bring our friends and neighbors and family to the gospel meeting. God even gives us open doors this week to bring people here to this building to hear the gospel preached. And I want to encourage us to go through those doors and take a hold of the opportunities that God gives us. So I wanted to speak about this afternoon so that we could put it into practice starting tomorrow even and throughout the rest of this week. I wanted to thank Larry and Linda for their kind hospitality this afternoon, opening up their home. We greatly appreciate that. And it was good to get to know some of the brethren here better, and we appreciate their hospitality and kindness in opening up their home. We have an opportunity now to feast on the spiritual word of God, and we want to do that for just a few moments. The scripture tells us that God opens doors. And if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 14, we want to begin there when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas had just finished their preaching trip. They had left Antioch and they had gone on a preaching trip. And they had come back. Luke records in the book of Acts that when they had gone there and done some preaching and other places and churches were established, even so much so that elders were appointed in each of the congregations. We find in Acts chapter 14, they came back to Antioch and they wanted to let the brethren know about their work. Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all things that God had done with them and that he had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so when you read Acts chapter 13 and 14, and you read about the establishment of the church at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, and these congregations were established and elders were appointed, what was that? That was God opening a door of faith to the Gentiles. And so what we call cases of conversion, God is opening doors. What we call Paul going on a preaching trip and Christians being made there as a result of obeying the gospel, that's God opening doors. Luke summarized it by saying God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And so we want to talk about that this afternoon. When we look at the scriptures, we find that this expression, open doors, or God opening doors, is simply another way of saying opportunities to teach the gospel to people and to bring them into a right relationship with God. This phrase is found several places in the New Testament. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said that he wanted to tarry at Ephesus, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9. I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. It's a great door, it's a great opportunity, and of course we know from Acts chapter 18 and 19 that Paul spent much time there, and the text says that all Asia heard the word of God. There was a great door that was opened up at Ephesus. But we also know, look at verse 9, there are many adversaries. When God opens doors, there are going to be challenges. And when we try to talk with our friends and neighbors about the gospel and set up a Bible study and hand them a tract and invite them to the gospel meeting, there are going to be no's. There are going to be challenges. But we continue to do the Lord's work. And Paul said there in verse 9, a great door and effectual. It's working. It's working. And it will produce good. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, when the Apostle Paul, again writing to Corinth, talks about his labors at Troas, Acts 20 and 7. Now, I when we came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened unto me in the Lord, I had no relief for my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went forth into Macedonia. When a door was opened unto me in the Lord, you see, this is to do the Lord's work, and He opens doors for us and continues to do that. And it doesn't matter what size of a congregation we are. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, and let's be reminded of the small congregation in Philadelphia. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door opened which none can shut. There was a great opportunity there in the city of Philadelphia, and God had opened up that door, and this congregation could go out into that community and could evangelize. And John goes on to say that thou hast a little power, and it's keep my word. That is most likely a reference to its small size, a smaller congregation. And yet, they had a door opened there that no one could shut. And so when God opens doors, He intends for great things to happen. Sometimes an open door has to do with the individual. Come with me to Revelation chapter 3. You're familiar with the passage there with regard to the lukewarm church of Laodicea, and they needed to repent. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The individual Christians there at Laodicea needed to open up their hearts and their lives to Jesus. They needed to repent. They needed to make some changes. But Jesus is standing at the door knocking. But the text says that they have to open the door. Jesus is not going to force His way into our lives. We have to humbly open up to Him. But the Scripture tells us that God opens doors. And that's what I want us to consider this afternoon as we study from God's Word. First of all, we're going to talk a little bit this afternoon about doors that are open to us by others. And then secondly, we're going to talk about doors that we open ourselves. And we're going to use the book of Acts for this particular study. We could turn to a number of examples in the New Testament, but I'd like to look at that great book of conversions in the book of Acts. And if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 4, we're going to begin there this afternoon. We're going to look at the book of Acts, and we're going to see, number one, how that doors are open to us by others, and number two, how we ourselves can open doors. And we're going to use the book of Acts for that. As you're turning over there, I want to encourage you, brethren, that each and every one of you, each and every one of us, we can talk with others about the gospel. And it can be a very easy thing to do. I know that growing up, there were many times when the local churches where I was at, there would be special seminars planned for personal evangelism, and some brother would be brought in and have a personal evangelism weekend or a special study on personal evangelism, and all of that was good. And the reason that that was typically done, I know growing up in life, was because brethren needed to be motivated to do that kind of thing. Brethren fear talking with others about the gospel. And so there was this general need to motivate brethren, to encourage them to talk with their friends and their neighbors about the gospel. And I understand that that is a challenge. And I want to do that this afternoon, but I want us to understand that it can be easier than you think. There is a brother there at Springfield that right now, today, he's going to be making 50 copies of the church bulletin. And he passes out 50 copies every week without fail. He never fails to do that. He is a bus driver. He's a bus driver. And he just enjoys talking with people. And I'm surprised he hasn't gotten called on this yet, but he passes out bulletins to children on his bus route. I'm surprised the school board hasn't called him yet and told him not to do that anymore. But the children read them, and the children give those bulletins to their parents. Then he takes about 30 bulletins to Wendy's. And he goes to Wendy's a couple of times a week, and I was with him just last week, and he was doing this very thing. He gives them to the people that are in Wendy's. In fact, they expect to get them when they see him coming in. They walk up to him and they say, "Can I have my bulletin?" Another thing that's interesting about this is that this man takes our bulletin and he gives it to a couple of denominational preachers that he knows, and they're taking the bulletin. Now get this, they're making extra copies and passing it out to the members of their church. There's a Baptist church in town where he is doing that, and he's done that with a Methodist church before. Passing out our bulletin to their congregation. Of course, I make sure that that bulletin has good, sound, basic Bible teaching in it. In fact, since we've been doing this probably at least the past 3, 4, 5 years, our bulletin is nothing but first principle lessons on what people out in the community need to hear with regard to the Lord's church, the gospel, obedience, and things like that. I have tailored the bulletin every week just for that because that's primarily how it's being used. We copy some and put them in the foyer, and some of our members get them, but he is getting that and passing out over 50 copies every week. And I just wanted to tell you that, brethren, for you to understand something about this, and that is what we're talking about this afternoon is extremely easy. We're not talking about a special plan, a special seminar. We're just talking about handing someone a bulletin. That's all he does. And there have been more Bible studies set up with that brother and these folks and me than anybody else ever in the local congregation. And it's just a simple individual speaking in a simple way to common folk and then accepting the invitation to sit down and talk about God's Word. And so doors open up all the time for us, and that's how he walks through those doors. What can you do? Can Doug print a bulletin here for you to pass out? I'm sure he'd be glad to do that. And you can just take that and give it to people. And there are people that you regularly see, and we'll talk about some other kinds of opportunities later. But let's talk about God opens doors. Brethren, if this congregation is going to grow, and where we're at Springfield and other places, it's going to be when souls are converted. We know from Acts 16 and verse 4 that you can grow in two ways. You can grow in strength, spiritually, and you can grow in number. And if we're to grow in number, it's going to be because lost souls are brought to Christ. But lost souls are going to be brought to Christ when we walk through those open doors that God gives us each day. Now, there may be a day where we never go outside our house. That happens from time to time. But if we go outside of our house somewhere, sometimes throughout the day, there's probably going to be a door that God opens for us. Will we walk through that and talk with others about the gospel? This brother that passes out the bulletins brings more visitors than anybody. He sets up more Bible studies than anybody. And all he's doing is just handing folks a bulletin every week. And so that's very encouraging. And I want to encourage you that you can do the same, or you can find something similar and do those kinds of things. Let's begin this afternoon talking about doors that are opened unto us by others. God opens up doors by using other people to come to us and give us that open door. Let's start in Acts chapter 4, if we'll turn to verse 7. Do you remember when Peter and John were preaching in the temple? They were preaching in the name of Jesus, and the religious leadership didn't want them doing that. And so they put them in prison. They're let back out of prison, and they go back out to preaching the gospel. But when Peter and John are having this interaction with the religious council, there are opportunities where doors were opened to them. Do you remember in Acts chapter 4 and verse 7? And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them. And if you come on down to verse 12, he preached Jesus unto them. But notice verse 7. By what power or by what authority? Number one, sometimes a door is open to us at work or at school or in the neighborhood when somebody just simply asks us a question. They ask us a question. And then that's an open door right there. Notice in chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, they had been put in jail and they are literally given an open door through the angel. But Acts chapter 5, verse 19, but an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go ye and stand and speak in the temple to this people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and they began to preach again. Doors are open for Peter and John. But notice in chapter 4 and verse 7, when they were put before the council, they asked them, "Tell us by what authority." Peter didn't say, I don't know. Let me get somebody else. He started talking. Doors are open to us when people will ask a question or they'll make a comment. That's an open door. We need to start talking about spiritual things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6 and 7. Do you remember when Stephen was preaching in Jerusalem? We're going to come down at the end of Acts chapter 6. And we're going to pick up the reading in verse 12, Acts 6, 12. Do you remember Stephen, who was mighty in faith and the Holy Spirit, and he's preaching in the city of Jerusalem? Look at Acts chapter 6. He's in one of the synagogues, verse 12. And they stirred up the people and the elders of the scribes and came upon him and seized him and brought him into the council and set up false witnesses who said, "This man ceaseth not to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. And all that sat in the council, fastening their eyes on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Now get it. Underscore in your Bible this next statement. "And the high priest said, are these things so?" What is that? That's an open door right there. They opened up a door. And what did Stephen start doing? He started preaching about Abraham, chapter 7, verse 2, and he comes all the way down and preaches to them about Jesus in Acts chapter 7 and verse 52. But it started with this statement. Are these things so? Open door right there. Stephen didn't say, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I haven't thought about it. There was no mumbling or fumbling or bumbling. There was no, let me go get someone to answer your question. He just started right in. And he preached to them that Old Testament Abraham and the history of Israel all the way down to the coming of Jesus Christ. And it started with somebody else opening up that door. Are these things so often a question is asked? So you're riding along with one of your friends and you're going to the ball game or you're going with your neighbor up to Walmart. Some question or some comment is asked. What is that, brethren? That's God opening up a door. And instead of walking through that door, we will often go on to something else, maybe talk about sports or the weather or something else. But that was our open door. God gives us those, brethren, and we need to walk through them. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. When Paul and Barnabas had come to the city of Antioch, they wanted to preach in the synagogue. And we find in Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 13, "And Paul and his company set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. But they, passing through Perga, came to Antioch of Pisidia. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." That's it right there. There's your open door. Friends, we see that you're visiting the synagogue today. We saw you sitting over there. We just finished reading the law. Would you like to say anything? And look at what the text says. Paul stood up. Paul stood up. And it's that great sermon in Acts chapter 13. He doesn't begin with Abraham. Look at Acts 13, 17. He begins with Israel in Egypt. But once again, he brings them all the way down to Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 13, verse 38 and 39. You can be saved. You can have remission of sins through Jesus Christ. And you could not have that under the law of Moses. But how did it get started? Do you have anything to say? Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And do you know that Christians were made in Antioch? Because Paul just simply walked through an open door that had been opened to him by these leaders. This happens all the time, brethren, where we're out with our friends and neighbors and colleagues and others. A question is asked, a comment is made, and it's just an open door right there for us to begin a Bible discussion, and we need to do that very thing. Not only that, but look at Acts chapter 13, and come with me to verse 42. When Paul had finished preaching, let's pick up the reading, Acts 13, 42, "And as they went out, they besought that these words might be spoken on the next Sabbath." What is that? It's another open door. It's another invitation. And what did Paul do? He came back the next Sabbath. God opens doors. The problem is not there's no open doors. The problem is he's opening them up all the time. But are we walking through them? We will grow, brethren, when we talk with others about the gospel and when they are converted. But we have to go through those open doors. We talked about social media this morning, and I hope I didn't leave the wrong impression that I was somehow against that. But that's a great open door. Some of you are using social media to talk with others about the gospel, and that's a great thing. That's an open door. In fact, websites and those types of things are reaching people all over the world. I'm currently corresponding with a preacher in West Africa and have been for about a year now because of the internet and other kinds of things like that. It's open doors. God is opening up doors, but we have to walk through them. But sometimes the doors are opened by others, and it's just an invitation right there. Will we walk through and say something, or will we just clam up and not do anything? Or if we said anything, it's about sports and weather and those things that do not save. And there's a time and place for that, and it's a great, great thing to talk about, but those things do not save, and we need to talk with others about the gospel. So in verse 42, can you come back? And so look, when the synagogue broke up, many of the Jews and of the devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. And so another open door. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 19. Do you remember when Paul was in Athens? When Paul was in Athens and he's brought before the Areopagus or Mars Hill, what do we find there? These Stoic and Epicurean philosophers, they look at verse 18. They heard that Paul was in town. What will this babbler say? That Greek word there means a seed picker, someone who just goes around picking up little bits of information here and there. You know, he's not smart like we are. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is which is spoken by thee. And what does he do? He preaches to them about the one true God, and closes in verse 31 the fact that there's going to be a judgment day and Jesus is going to judge. And so verse 32, when they heard this of the resurrection, some mocked, but others said, we will hear thee concerning this yet again. Thus Paul went out from them. But certain men clave unto him and believed, among whom also was Dionysius the Areopagite. Here's Dionysius. He becomes a Christian because Paul did what? He just simply said, yeah, you're inviting me to speak before the council? I'd be glad to speak. This God, this unknown God, I want to proclaim him to you. It was an open door, and he was ready to go, wasn't he? Okay. So, sometimes doors are opened by others, and we have to be ready to walk in. Later, after Paul comes back to Jerusalem, turn with me to Acts 23. He's bringing the benevolent funds to the needy that are in Judea, and he comes back in. You remember how he's arrested in the temple, and he stands before the Sanhedrin council. Acts 23:1. He was brought before the council, look at Acts 23:1, looking steadfastly on the council, said, brethren, I have lived before God in all good conscience before this day. There are times when he is speaking before others and he's using these open doors. Do you remember when Paul stands before Felix, Acts 24:10, and when the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, Paul answered, and he preaches unto them. Later, Paul preaches of judgment, righteousness, a judgment to come, righteousness and self-control. But it was because Felix said, you're allowed to speak. Paul started speaking. When Paul stands before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse 1, and Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And this is one of those chapters where we talk about the conversion of Saul. Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26, the three examples of the conversion of Saul. How did that come about? Someone said, Paul, would you like to speak? Brethren, that's going to happen in our life, and we have to be ready. So what's our point? Our point here is that we have to be ready to speak when the opportunity presents itself. We have to have an attitude of being ready to go. Let me encourage us, brethren, along these lines. What are our Bible classes for? Well, it's so that we can learn God's Word. What are the sermons for? What are the Bible classes for? Do you know that those are for the purpose also for giving us information so that we can go out and talk with others about that in our work and in our associations with others? And you will be making contacts with family members and friends and others on particular matters of Bible doctrine. Come to Doug and say, Doug, could you bring a lesson on such and such? I'm talking with my friend about once saved, always saved. Could you present a lesson and give me some scriptures to talk with this person about once saved, always saved? He brings the lesson, you make the notes, you jot them down, and then you go out and use those with your friend. Bible classes and sermons are so that we can learn material to talk with others. So when the subject comes up on instrumental music, Jesus is going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Jesus is not God, your Jehovah's Witness friends. Once saved, always saved. Faith only. Whatever the case might be, the material has been studied. I've taken notes. I've gotten a recording of the lesson. And now I'm ready to talk. We must talk with our neighbors about the gospel. But our Bible classes and our sermons are giving us the very information we need to go do that. What does Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15? What? Be ready always to give an answer. Be ready always to give an answer. It's something. Say something. Say something from God's Word. Something to draw them into a good study. It might get deep enough to where we have to say, well, I've got to call one of the elders, or I've got to get some help from Doug. And that's fine. But we need to be able to say something basic from the Word of God. A door has just been opened to us, and we have to be ready to speak when that opportunity presents itself. We've just read in the book of Acts where somebody said, would you like to say something? Or somebody asked a question, or somebody presented a situation, and immediately God's messengers just spoke up. And that's what we need to be ready to do. And it might be in the line at Walmart. It might be at the bank teller in the drive-thru. It might be dropping off the dry cleaning. It might be picking up kids at school. Whatever the case is, there are open doors and we've got to say something. The opportunity has to be there. So 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer. And one way that we ready ourselves is in our weekly Bible classes and sermons. Do you know how many sermons you hear a year? There's a lot of sermons. There's a lot of Bible classes. There's a lot of good passages that we could write down and points that we could take note of so that we're ready to talk with that person about the gospel. But turn with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It's not just a matter of being ready and ready from the standpoint of knowledge, book learning and things like that, but it's also the attitude of boldness. We're not going to fear what someone might think or say. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were in the temple and when they were given the opportunity to speak, they did. Then they're put in jail and let back out and they go right back out. There's another opportunity to speak. What's driving that? Look at Acts 4:13. When they beheld the boldness of Peter and John, they loved the Lord. They were unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And that's the point. This bus driver doesn't have a college degree. He's a good fella. He's a good Christian. He's been with Jesus. He spends time reading his Bible and he wants others to learn about Jesus. We don't have to be intelligent and we don't have to have a high degree. These men were fishermen. But they were bold. And so when the door opens up, when we have that boldness and when we have that true love for the Lord, we're going to speak up and say something. And so that's a part of the factor as well. Turn with me to chapter 5 and verse 29. They also loved God more than man. And so when they were told, you cannot preach in the name of Jesus, Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. And there may come up topics in the future with regard to the legality of homosexuality and other kinds of things where we have to say we follow the Word of God. We obey God rather than men. And in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers. We can all teach something. If it's nothing more than what we did to become a Christian, we can tell somebody else. But I believe all of us can do even more than that when we take time to just jot some things down during the sermon or during the Bible class that we can share with others. And we have our Bible with us. I think it's great that we have Bible even in technology where we could have it even on our phones. And we might be at work or some of the young people here might be at school and you could have the Bible on your phone and you could say, well, let's look at a verse here. I think that's great. But doors are open to us when people ask questions, when people make comments, they see things that are on the news, they have troubles that are going on in their lives and they want to bring it up. Maybe it's a visit that you've made to the hospital. Maybe it's a visit that you've made to a neighbor's house. Things come up and we can turn that into spiritual opportunities to talk with them about the gospel. And so when we look in the book of Acts then, we find that doors are opened to us. They are. But will we walk through them? Will we speak or will we clam up? Will we say something or will we not be ready? Will we go ahead and say something or will we say, well, wait a minute, let me go get somebody else and then the opportunity is dissolved? Or will we do something to talk with someone about the gospel? And it really is easy. It really is easy. I think sometimes we've made it more difficult than it has to be. So I want to encourage us that sometimes doors are opened by others. But also turn with me to the book of Acts and let's notice the second point. And that is sometimes doors are open because we are the ones who open that door. And that's really our brother that I explained to you in Springfield. He's opening the doors. He goes up to the front room and makes his copies every week without fail. He makes his copies, he takes them with him, and he goes to Wendy's the next day. He passes them out on his bus route. He passes them out at the bus garage. He passes them out when he goes to this place, and when he goes to pay his bills over here, he passes them out there. He is making it happen. And brethren, we can do it. We can do it. One other example that is working for brethren, I heard some lessons recently on evangelism and talking with our neighbors this past summer, and there's a congregation in the Beaumont area of Texas, and they're doing a lot of this, and the elders are doing it themselves. They're just passing out a card. This is the one for the church in Springfield. I don't know if y'all have a card like this here, but on one side it's just the information and the location. On the inside it's just a few points about us as New Testament Christians. And brethren are handing these out to individuals. And they're doing it on a regular basis, and it's working, just inviting people to come. And I use them for just like a notepad. And so they're getting my phone number, plus they're getting a little bit extra information as well. Somebody says, well, can I have your phone number? Or can you write something down, and you'll pull this out, and you'll write it down? If you don't have a card like this here at this congregation, let me encourage you maybe to get one and try it. It's a simple thing to do. You just hand somebody a card. Here's where I go to church. Why don't you come visit next Sunday? Our preacher said that he was going to preach on such and such topic, some timely topic or something that's in the news. And we'd like for you to come hear that. Here's a card. That's how simple it is. Every once in a while, you're going to get something that might sound a little negative, but for the most part, people take it and they're glad to get something like that. This brother told me last week. He said that he had gone to, he was going to check on buying a motorcycle that was being advertised in the bargain browser. And so he went out to this person's home and he was going to talk with him about buying this motorcycle. And in the course of that, he handed him a bulletin. He said, I would like for you to read this bulletin. And the man said, no, I don't want it. I don't want to have anything to do with any organized religion. And Eric said, well, that's fine. That's okay. You don't have to take it. And I asked Eric, I said, how often does that happen? Does that happen all the time? He said, no, that's rare that something like that happens. Just about always they will take it. And many times they want to see it again the next week. Brethren, we are going to get a no. But don't we get that in a lot of walks of life? How many of us in business stopped our business because we got a no? How many of us as parents trying to set something up for our children just stop the whole thing because somebody said no? We keep going, don't we? And we're okay. We'll be fine. And we're going to get a no. We're going to get a rejection now and then. But that is by far the vast minority. The majority of cases is simply somebody being glad to see something. So you might try something like this card, pass out a bulletin, give somebody a copy of the lesson or something like that. But in our second point, we need to understand that we can make it happen. We can make opportunities happen. Let's look at a few examples. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. You remember when Peter and John were in the temple at the hour of prayer, and this man who was lame, Peter and John healed them at the gate Beautiful. Acts 3:10, and they took knowledge of him that it was he that had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now look at the very next verse. This is very similar to what you'll find in the Gospels with Jesus. There are many gospel passages that say, Jesus, looking around, saw such and such and began to say. Peter looked up and saw this. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, you men of Israel. And he preaches again unto them, just like he did on the day of Pentecost, repentance and remission of sins. It's because, verse 12, he looked up and saw the people. He saw that there's a crowd gathering, and here's an opportunity for me to say something. And he made it happen. We can look up and we can see where somebody is doing something or saying something or thinking something, and we can make an open door out of that. Do you remember Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, after the stoning of Stephen and Saul was there? There was a great persecution against the church. Acts 8, 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and there arose a great persecution against the church which was in Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout all the region. They were running for their lives. But look at verse 4. They turned it into an opportunity to spread the gospel. So they go everywhere preaching the word, verse 8. And that's how the church at Samaria got started. That's how the church at Antioch got started. Acts 11:19. Acts 11:19 says that people were scattered because of the persecution of Stephen, and some of them came to Antioch. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because they turned that into an open door. They turned their own persecution into an open door to talk with others. And brethren are saved. Christians are made. They didn't say, let's hide out. Let's be quiet. Let's hide in our homes. Or let's run and not do anything else, but just run and get out. No, they ran to preach the word elsewhere. If it's not going to be accepted in Jerusalem, fine, we're going to go somewhere else where it is. They made it happen. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I like this. When Paul is on his preaching trip and it takes them into Philippi. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16 and verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went forth without the gate by the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. They went where they thought some people, some religious people were. And as a result, Lydia and her household are baptized into Christ. And the jailer and his household are baptized into Christ because they went to a place where they supposed there were some religious people. They made that happen. And we know enough about family and friends and co-workers to know that we can say some things and go to some places and get those doors open. Look at chapter 17 and verse 2. The statement that Paul, as was his custom, went into the synagogue for 3 Sabbath days and reasoned from the Scriptures. As was his custom. He sought out places and it worked. Go to places where you know you can leave a bulletin. Go to places where you know you can give someone a card. You know that you can invite someone there. You know that you can set up a Bible study. And there are places like that. Look at Acts chapter 18 and verse 7. This has always been a favorite story of mine. When one door is shut by man, listen, God opens up another door. Man shuts one door, but God opens up another door. So look at Paul in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. He was preaching in the synagogue. And when they opposed themselves, verse 6, and blasphemed, he shook out his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. Now look at it. And he departed from there. He walked out of the synagogue. They didn't want to hear him anymore. And went into the house of a certain man named Titus, one that worshipped God, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue. A door is shut. He goes right next door. That's the open door. Brother, we know there's open doors. And someone might say no, but then right next to them is somebody who will say yes. And so man shuts doors and God opens them up. And the text says that he stayed there, verse 11, a year and 6 months teaching the word of God. And a congregation is established as a result. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19 and verse 2. Paul found some disciples of John the Baptist, and they needed to be baptized correctly in the name of Jesus. And he found them and he asked them some questions. Ask questions of your religious neighbors, and they were baptized into Christ. Verse 6. Look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 9. When a door was shut, another one was opened up. Look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 8. He spake boldly in the synagogue. reasoning and persuading of the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he just quit? He just quit? No, he departed and separated the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. He set that up. I don't know if he knew Tyrannus. I don't know if he was a friend, if he was just a complete stranger. Can I rent your school? Can I borrow your school? I don't know. But when one door was shut, he opened up another one, and the text says that all Asia heard the word of God. He spent some 2 years there. Why? He made it happen. Brethren, there are doors everywhere. This congregation at Southside will grow because there will be Bible studies. There will be conversions. I believe there are still good and honest hearts out there, but we've got to go through those doors, whether doors presented to us by others or whether doors we make happen ourselves. There are other examples, but we must wrap up our study. There's one other one that I'd like to look at before we leave the book of Acts. Turn with me to Acts chapter 22. This is another one of my favorite parts of Luke's record of the book of Acts. Do you remember in Acts chapter 21, we're going to look at Acts 21:34. Paul had brought the benevolence money to the needy in Judea, and he'd come into Jerusalem to give them that. And some of the Jews had stirred up a multitude, and they thought that he was violating the temple by bringing Trophimus into the temple, verse 29, and so forth. And so this big hubbub gets started, and the Roman soldiers actually have to step in and save him. And so they're taking him up to the steps of what was called the Antonia Fortress. It was on the northwest corner of the temple complex. The Romans had a castle or a fortress there where Pontius Pilate and some Roman soldiers were watching over Jerusalem. And so they're taking Paul up the stairs of this fortress or castle area. And look at what happens on the way up the stairs. I love this. You can make a door open. Verse 37. And as Paul was about to be brought into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I say something unto thee?" And he said, "Dost thou know Greek? Art thou not the Egyptian who before these days stirred up the sedition and led out into the wilderness 4,000 men of the assassins?" But Paul said, "I am a Jew. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a Jew of Tarsus in Sicily, a citizen of no mean city. I beseech thee, give me leave to speak unto the people." And when he had given leave, Paul, standing on the stairs, beckoned with his hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brethren and fathers, hear the defense which I now make unto you." This man's being arrested, and he turns it into an opportunity to preach the gospel to them. By just turning to the soldier and saying, "Can we speak to the crowd for a minute?" The guy said, "Sure. It's not hard. We just simply need to ask. Can I talk to this group? Can I talk to you?" Every once in a while you'll get a no, but you'll often get a yes, and it's an open door to teach others. And so, Luke chapter 11, 9 and 10. Jesus said, "Knock, and it shall be opened." That applies to our lesson this afternoon. That applies to prayer. We often use it in the context of prayer. But it applies also to what we're talking about this afternoon. And knock, and it will be open. Turn with me to John 4:35, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. That right there ties into what we're talking about this afternoon with regard to open doors. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Here's Jesus sitting at the well, weary. He asks for some water, and what does he do? He turns it into an opportunity to talk about the living water. She becomes a believer, goes back into town, brings some of her friends, and they become believers. Because Jesus started off by just talking about regular water and turned it into living water, and that's an open door. And people are struggling with things in their marriage and in their family and other problems, and we can turn those conversations into talking about how the Bible can help them. And so in John chapter 4, in verse 35, what does Jesus say to his disciples? "Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields." He's talking about the people who were coming back from the town with this woman. "Look on the fields, that they are white already unto harvest." Get our eyes open to the opportunities that are right there before us. And that's a family member, a friend, a co-worker, people that we see all the time, the post office worker that we're in the same line every time, the Walmart worker in the line, the same one every time, and yet we don't say a thing. Those are great open opportunities. I was talking with this preacher in the Beaumont area, and he's one of the ministers, and he's also one of the elders, and I believe he said there are five elders, and all of them have made the commitment. They have to pass out cards every week, just like the members do, and they have an accountability on that, and they check each other. Are we passing out our cards? And he said that one time, some of the members of this congregation were at Walmart, and they were in this lady's line, and they wanted to hand her a card, and the lady said, "No, I've already been given three of those cards today by other members." Isn't that great? And this is a big town. Beaumont's a big town. So she's getting the message, and this preacher was telling me that later she came and attended and visited the service. Lift up her eyes. The harvest is already there. We just need to be the reapers going into that harvest. It's there. Doors are there. And then one last passage, and the lesson is yours. Romans 10, 1. We have to have a great care and love for the lost. If we're so hardened, we'll just walk by them. But if we love them and love their soul and care for them. And Paul said, my heart's desire is that my brethren would be saved. He's talking about his lost Jewish brethren. I just want them to be saved. And he prayed for them. And he preached to them. And he tried to help them. We do not need to be so hardened and calloused and uncaring that we just go by each time these individuals who need the gospel. We need to be loving and caring and kind and compassionate and realize that we were once like that. We were once like that. And someone brought the gospel to us. Well, as we close this afternoon, pray for open doors. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. We need to have God in the picture and we need to pray. And I think we do a lot of that well. I hear a lot of prayers in congregations about the lost and saving the lost and taking the gospel to the lost. Let's continue praying for open doors. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3. With all praying for us that God may open unto us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Continue praying that God will open doors. But I believe He does every day. So then we need the second thing. Pray for open hearts. Lydia's heart was open to attend unto the things that she heard when Paul was preaching. Pray for good and honest hearts and open hearts. And then last of all, and this is for us who are brethren here, we need to open our mouths. Pray for open mouths that we would contact those open hearts and the gospel can be given to them. Do you remember in Psalm 51, that great psalm about confession of sin? This was probably a psalm written on the occasion of David's sin with Bathsheba. He says, "Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me. I want to confess my sin to you, and I want you to forgive me." And then notice what he says in Psalm 51:13. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Do you know some of the ones who have done some of the greatest personal evangelism? Do you know who they are? New converts. Ones that have been just previously forgiven. Do you know what they do? They can't wait to tell others about the gospel. They can't wait to invite people. They can't wait to talk with their friends and neighbors and tell them what they did. And that's what Psalm 51 is. He's just been forgiven. And in verse 13, "I want to tell transgressors how to be saved." Some of the best personal workers are new converts. But what happens is the devil works on the rest of us. After 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years of being in the church, he's gotten us to where we're not as excited like we were that day we came up out of the water. It's the new converts that are excited. They can't wait to tell everybody. We need to be like that and continue having that. And so Paul said, Ephesians 6:19, "Pray that I might speak as I ought to speak, that I might speak as I ought to speak." Well, the lesson is yours. God opens doors, doesn't He? Sometimes doors are opened to us by others. And they basically are giving us an invitation right there on a silver platter. "Would you like to say something?" They might ask us a question. They might give us an open floor there. Be ready. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to take that open door. Sometimes it's because we've got to make it happen.
We've got to go up to somebody and say, can I say something? Can I ask you a question? Can I study with you? Can we talk for a while? Either way, open doors. And when there's open doors and open hearts and open mouths to share the gospel, there will be conversions. There will be souls saved. And this congregation will grow. And I hope that I've encouraged you along those lines. There may be someone here this afternoon with an open heart who will come repenting of their sins and having their sins washed away in this water. The garments are ready. All things are ready for you to respond to the gospel. You've heard what you need to do, and you just simply need to do that. The door is open now. God has given us that invitation. One day it'll be shut. When the Lord comes again, that invitation will be shut. That door will be shut. No more opportunity to be baptized into Christ. I would encourage you to do that now. Straightway, in the book of Acts, it was immediately. It was in the same hour of the night, because we have the opportunity now. There may be an erring child of God that needs to come back in some way, and you want to let these good brethren know that you're repenting and you can pray together for forgiveness. The door stands open. God has given us 3 o'clock this afternoon, 4 o'clock this afternoon, to make our lives right. Walk through that door and make your life right. If we can help you, if we can assist you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?